Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Milford House Mysteries on the BookSpeak Network with co-host Sherry Knowlton and J.M. West. Our mystery and suspense novels are published by Sunbury Press and its mystery imprint, Milford House, thus the title of the podcast. I'm Sherry Knowlton. I write the Alexa Williams series of books, which include Dead of Autumn, Dead of Summer, Dead of Spring, and yes, you guessed it, Dead of Winter.
Hi, and I'm J.M. West. I write the Carlisle Crime Cases series, Dying for Vengeance, Courting Down Darkness, Darkness at First Light, Had a Dying Fall, and they feature homicide detectives Christopher Snow and Aaron McCoy, who's the rookie. And my newest Snow McCoy mystery, Things Strangled, will be released later this year because right now I'm in the editing and revising process.
Well, today on our podcast, we have an unusual situation. We had planned to have author April Knight with us to chat about her newest book, Nobody Dies in Kansas, as well as her interesting writing career, which spans a number of forms and genres. But April has not joined us yet. So we thought what we'd do is sort of respond to the situation by talking a little bit about April's bio and her books. Hopefully, as we're doing that, she'll join us and call in. Maybe she got detained somewhere along the way. Because for those of you out there who don't know, we do this by telephone, so we're not in the same room. So we'll do that, and then if she hasn't joined us, what we'll do is we have a few things that Jody and I can talk about, and then we'll wrap it up. So. First thing, let's talk about our absent guest's bio.
Well, when April was 9 years old, her teacher asked the class members what they wanted to be when they grew up. And April said she wanted to be a writer. And the teacher and the whole class laughed. And the teacher said April couldn't be a writer because she wasn't smart enough. And even smart people had to go to college for years to be a writer. Well, April began writing stories when she was 12, and at 13, she sold her first story to a national magazine. Before she turned 18, she had over 30 stories published in magazines and proven that to be a writer, all you need is a story to tell. April has published many books, including Nobody Dies in Kansas, which is a mystery published by Sunbury Press, Dig the Grave First, another mystery, but Sweet Dreams and Stars in the Desert are romances. She's also had 1,000 short stories and articles. Imagine that. Published in various magazines, plus written a newspaper column for 20 years, and contributed regularly to the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. Ordinarily, I would say, April Knight, welcome to the Milford House Mysteries.
Well, April's book, Nobody Dies in Kansas, is her latest, the way that she describes it is that it's her favorite book because much of it is based on her childhood when she honestly believed she was Tandalea, fire goddess of the volcano. The book is a fictional book. It's the story of Linda, a young girl who is bullied without mercy at school and who struggles to survive the abuse of a dysfunctional family. Her only friends are imaginary, and she lives in a fantasy world. She's convinced that her mother is planning to kill her, that her father wishes his wife and daughter were dead, and Linda is hoping to live long enough to be 10 years old. So it sounds like a pretty bleak story. Set in the 1950s, the novel is filled with nostalgia and dark humor. She says, "I believe the readers will enjoy the suspense and will be surprised and satisfied with the final chapter." So, for those of you who, you know, are interested in nostalgia, dark humor, and, you know, childhood fiction with a fairly dark twist, you can certainly find April's books on Amazon and other places. So since April hasn't joined us yet, maybe what we can do is give you an update about some things that are going on with Jody and me. Jody, I know you've been mentioning here on the podcast for a while that your next book was awaiting publishing, and I hear that you have had some news about where it stands, and
yes,
maybe you'd want to describe the process that it and a typical book at Sunbury Press goes through.
Yes, the publisher sent me the book yesterday, and I haven't had a chance to look at it yet because I work at the bookery on Thursdays. It's the Bosler Memorial Library's used bookstore in Carlisle, but I imagine it's similar to the other four mysteries that I've already published with them, and with the first edit is marked, and according to, you can read like the notations along the right-hand column, and then you can accept or reject, and most of the time I accept, because, you know, the editor knows what he or she is doing. And as a writer, many times I've made errors that they might be typos, or they might be the wrong word, like 222, like W-O or T-O-O. And I go, oh, yes, my goodness, that the editor catches those things. I feel very fortunate that, you know, I do have editors who pay strict attention to not only the content and the grammar, but the structure, you know, as well, so that they can give me suggestions and about how to improve the book, like you need a transition here, or I missed how you got from one scene to another, so maybe we need something to bridge that gap. And so it usually takes, for me, because my books run, you know, 300 some pages, it takes around 3 months to do. The very last book, Had a Dying Fall, actually went through about 8 different revisions. It's because sometimes in one particular book, I had to like remove part of a subplot that the editor was just felt that it was too negative. Almost taboo, and so I just go ahead and follow their suggestions and edit and revise, and, you know, according to their instructions. So I find that that's the most, not the easiest, but that's the best way to approach the editing and writing process, revising process.
So, Joan, what do you estimate? I know since you're just beginning, you don't know for sure, and there's lots of variables, but what do you estimate the length of the process will be with all the different steps, and when readers might see your new book? And give us the name of it again, too.
It's called Things Strangled, and it's the fifth installment of the Christopher Snow and Aaron McCoy mystery series. And this one has a subplot about Frank Woolworth, and because there are reenactors who come to Carlisle, and they're reenacting the opening of his first store. And I got them to Carlisle because the director thought there were too many tourists in Lancaster to fill it, where the first successful store truly was. But I'm anticipating that it'll be out in the summer. I want to say June, July, and August. I'm hoping anyway, and keep my fingers crossed, that we can keep it on track.
I hope so too.
Well, why don't you tell us about your, you just had a big book launch in Carlisle with your, with Dead of Winter. How'd that go?
Okay. Yeah, sure. I can talk a little bit about what's going on with my sort of marketing campaign and book tour around my new book, Dead of Winter. And that's the fourth book in my Alexa Williams series. It came out at the end of February. We had a book launch in Carlisle, Pennsylvania, which is near where I live, at Whistle Stop Books, which is a small bookstore that is a great independent bookstore that's been here in the Carlisle area for many, many years, and is one of, at one point, you know, bookstores, independent bookstores looked as if they might become a dying breed, but now they're on the upswing. But through thick and thin, Whistle Stop has been there, and they do support local authors to the extent they can, you know, with limited time for events and so forth. But Jeff Wood, the owner, agreed to host my book launch there. And it was really quite well attended. You know, I talked a little bit about the new book, Dead of Winter, and also read a couple passages from the book. Later, Jeff told me that I had the best book launch in terms of attendance and sales since Richard Russo was there, which, I mean, my gosh, he's a very famous
yeah.
author. So I was really pleased by that. I'm also in the midst of a series of book events throughout the East Coast, basically. I was in Pittsburgh a few weeks ago at Mystery Lovers Bookstore, which is a lovely little bookstore in the outskirts of Pittsburgh. I was in Center City, Philadelphia last Thursday, like a week ago, at Shakespeare and Company, which is a new expansion of the Shakespeare and Company that has been in Paris since the early 1950s, and now they have a branch in New York City and one in Philadelphia, and it's a lovely little bookstore. I'm going to be at a few more bookstores, one in the end of May, at the Island Bookstore in the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I'm going to be, you notice a beach theme here, I'll be at Bethany Beach Books in June 24th. So, hey, it's summer. Why not go to the beach?
Absolutely.
And then there is a non-beach bookstore appearance on Saturday, July 20th in Boonesboro, Maryland, at Turn the Page Bookstore with several authors. Nora Roberts is involved in that. She's, I guess, a major personage in Boonesboro, Maryland. She has a bed and breakfast there, and she does a lot of book events at Turn the Page. So she'll be there along with me and several other authors. And for those of you who don't know her as Nora Roberts, you may recognize her as J.D. Robb.
And then, who's written over 200 books.
Oh, go ahead.
I said she's an author who has written over 200 books. So
seriously,
she's
that
actually
many?
Pretty well known. Yeah, that many. Mm-hmm.
Wow. I guess she's been doing it for many years because that's
yes.
very, very impressive. Very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, she had, when someone, an interviewer, I read an interview when she was at that bookstore, I'm pretty sure she might be part owner or have some involvement in it in a way. Someone asked her, how did she write that many books? And she said, butt in the chair, 8 hours a day.
Yeah, I think that would take a lot of dedication.
I say, really.
The other thing I could probably mention is another place, if you're interested in meeting authors, that is always a good thing to do for avid readers, is check out your local library. I know that Jody and I have both appeared at events at Carlisle's major library, which is the Bosler Library. But over the next month, I'm also participating at a local author event this coming Sunday at the East Shore Library in Harrisburg. I'm giving a little talk on April 16th in the evening at the Newville, PA, John Graham Public Library. And then another one in our area, Hershey Library. I'm doing a talk on Sunday, April 28th as well. But no matter where you live, libraries are a great place to go, and they frequently have author talks, events where they bring together a lot of local authors. You know, it's a great chance to meet authors one on one, whether they're famous or not. It's really interesting usually to hear from them, hear about their books, and you can usually pick up signed copies of their books that can be dedicated personally to you if you want.
Well, not only that, but not just avid readers, but also writers, you know, writers who have not yet been published. That's a good place for effective writers to go to get ideas and hints and stories of what our, for example, our writers group did a program at Bosler, saw the book week called A Writer's Journey. And we each, there were five of us in our book, in our writing group, and we each talked about our own journey to publication, and it was different for all of us. So for prospective writers, it's also a good way to get out and find out how the writers do things.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
I think, going back to the, sort of what happens when you launch a book, and, you know, it can vary greatly by author, by what your publisher encourages you to do or sponsors for you, what your level of interest is in going out on the road as an author and doing a lot of events. And, you know, some authors are in a position that they're able to do quite a bit of it, but others have schedules and children and other things that make it more difficult. But, you know, the book launch process can really take on almost a life of its own. If you want it to, in terms of events, and as you can see or hear, I've got a lot of events coming up, and my author page, which is www.sherrynolton.com, always has the information on the events that I'm going to. You also can participate in conferences and other events. For example, this over the course of this year, I plan to attend for the first time a conference called Malice Domestic, which focuses primarily on the type of mystery called cozy, but in recent years it's expanded enough to include authors like me who aren't quite as cozy. And I would say that Jody's not a very cozy author either. She's more of a police procedural type. No, you're right.
They're too gritty to be cozies.
Well, that's what I thought when I, you know, when I talked to the organizer about Malice Domestic. I said, "Are you sure I'm cozy enough?" And she said, "Well, you know, it's a little more liberal than purely cozy mysteries these days."
Yeah,
I'm going to another conference, which is more the Malice Domestic is one that invites fans to come in and to participate. And this fall, I'm going to another conference called BoucherCon, which is very much a suspense and mystery fan conference. It moves around, and I would say it moves around the country, but I guess it moves around North America because the last one was in Toronto. This year's is in Dallas, so I'll be going to that in Dallas for the first time. I think that should be a lot of fun.
That should be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. They say that, authors are really pleased at being able to interact with the readers at the conference, and so I think that's going to be a unique perspective.
I just have one because I've been waiting for my book to come in. I'll be doing a program at a Pennsylvania State Library in June. Otherwise, I haven't really firmed up my schedule yet for summer and fall.
Well, yeah, I know you've had to wait until you can pin down the launch date of your book, right? Yeah. I guess I could talk a little bit about two other types of conferences that this year I'm only going to one of them, but there is a second sort of type of conference for authors that are more focused on author development, author networking. Here in Pennsylvania, there's an association called Pen Writers, and they hold annual conference. This year's is in Pittsburgh, and that's in May.
Who's their featured speaker? Do they have a speaker, featured author speaking?
They do, but I can't think of the name off the top of my head. Sorry.
I went to one a few years ago. It was Tamara Myers, and she writes mysteries. But I don't know. I haven't been a member for several years. But
yeah, and last year Gail Linz was the spy thriller author. She spoke, and she was very interesting. But for some reason, I'm blanking on the keynote speaker this year. There's another conference that I've gone to over the years, but with all these other events, I'm going to miss this year. But International Thriller Writers also has a big conference in New York City in early July every year. And that's more of the type that's focused more on authors rather than an author development than readers. Although there are readers and fans there. The International Thriller Writers has a cast of big name authors that come every year. And so it's always pretty interesting. I think that there's one other thing that I should mention that I'm doing, and I forgot about that, but the first weekend in May, I'm also going to be in a session called Afternoon Fright, which is being held at Mechanicsburg Mystery Bookshop. And there's two sets of panels that are all mystery and suspense writers. So that's another thing that's coming up as well. But, you know, the other thing, you know, that is also something that writers do and authors is, you know, try to be featured on each other's blogs and things like that. So that's certainly something else. If you can't get out and go to a talk or go to a conference, a reader's focus conference, or a writer's focus conference, if you're a writer too, you can always do virtual blog tours where if you follow authors or other folks like Jungle Red Writers or some of these Tall Poppies or another group that's online, you can learn a lot about books that are out there and are about to be released, new releases.
Yeah, and you can also, like, you know, I usually post my appearances on my Facebook page, which is you know, facebook.com/ Carlisle Cases by J.M. West, or my new website, which is CarlisleCrimeCases.com. So it looks like we've run out of time.
It sort of does. You know, this was a spur-of-the-moment discussion about, you know, what's up for both Joan and for me. But, you know, maybe we'll find out what came up with April that she was unable to join us and schedule her for a future podcast. But in the interim,
We do have a schedule. We have our program on Thursday, April the 25th from 2:30 to 3. That's a new time since we usually go at 2. Sherry and I will interview Dr. Barry Lippin, who is the author of The Vatican's Vault. Please join us for that stimulating conversation because it's about the conflict and the conspiracy surrounding the Catholic Church that some reviewers have compared to the Da Vinci Code. So that should be an interesting program. And also,
and
as a reminder,
in the meantime, you know, as I mentioned, you can follow us on social media. I'm on the web at www.sherrynolton.com, plus Facebook and Twitter.
And I'm on Facebook.com, Carlisle Crime Cases by Jane West. And again, my new website is www.CarlisleCrimeCasesRunTogether.com. So thank you all for tuning into and listening to the Milford House Mysteries. We hope you enjoyed our ad hoc or impromptu brainiest program. And we will make an attempt to reschedule April 9th so she can tell us about her story.
And hopefully next time we'll be a little more organized and our guest will appear. But
yeah.
Until then, have a great few weeks until we talk to you again.
Thanks for listening and goodbye. Until next time.